Nobody can sing like Jennifer Holliday. Let's get that crystal clear right now. So I wasn't worried about hitting those notes. I was just out there to have a good time.
But they had a good time.
That's all that matters. That's what that's a beautiful thing about karaoke. We're just all here to have a good time. Welcome back to the greatest song ever sung poorly. It is, in fact, a karaoke podcast that is a direct result of when boredom meets fandom. I'm your traditionally handsome host, Adam Wainwright.
And I'm just a sexy beast, Ed Kennard.
We're two beautiful men.
We are. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, absolutely.
In the grand scheme of my eyes, Ed, I think I'm a beautiful man. I think you're a beautiful man. And I feel confident about saying that, and I love that I can say that.
I love that you can say it too. You launched things off with a challenge last week, so I want to launch a challenge back at you.
Oh, launch away, my friend. I am ready to catch whatever you're ready to throw.
But there's no points with this one.
Okay, no problem.
There's no judging. This is more the interpretive dance of challenges.
I'm very good at interpretive dance. If there is such a thing and you can be good at interpretive dance, I'm great at interpretive dance.
I will have to see that to believe it. And I want to lead into this with telling you a little bit about where I just came from. I was on a work trip to Cincinnati.
Okay.
And I hit a lot of, shall we say, different types of karaoke bars while I was out there.
Ooh, do explain, Ed.
So, I mean, you know me, when I'm working and I'm traveling, the only thing that I want to do with my time that I'm not working is find a karaoke spot, meet some people and talk.
Yeah, it's a party.
So, I mean, I did my preliminary research. I did find a place that had a karaoke night on Sunday. It's called Tokyo Kitty in Cincinnati. It's mostly private room karaoke, but they do have like an open main floor.
For the listening viewers out there, I'm going to roll with it. I'm sticking by that. I saw pictures of this. So Ed sent me a Snapchat like us young people do, send the Snapchats. And this place is just, you should look up pictures after Ed's done describing it, because it is a trip and I desperately want to go there now.
And the one thing I will say about this place is they did have like a great signature cocktail on tap that was made with Suntory whiskey, seltzer, and like just a little bit of lemon. It was a Suntory highball. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was there for a little bit, and you know how karaoke people are. We are a tribe of some form. I got adopted by two guys, Seamus and Slim. Shout out to Seamus, who then told me about a karaoke spot for the next day, which unfortunately canceled their karaoke.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not going to name the place though, because I did have a drink or three there and it was fantastic. It had a very great vibe. Like every bar I went to in Cincinnati had a great vibe. I had no idea it was such a cool city because, you know, living in the Pittsburgh area, you guys are all very anti-Cincinnati, anti-Ohio in general.
Just Ohio in general is appropriate, Ed. I was about to make a diss on Ohio before you said that we're anti-Ohio. But yes, like, you know, I'm just, before people who are listening in Ohio start coming at me, you have to understand that for a little while, I worked in Louisville, Kentucky, and my family still lived in Western Pennsylvania. So I used to make the commute. Ohio is the worst state to drive across in the entire Northeast. It's like mountains exist in every other state in the Northeast, from like North Carolina up to Maine and as far west as like Illinois. And then, but they fucking disappear in Ohio. Like, so I couldn't stand it. There were just potholes. Like it was like, it's flat. It's weird. It's weird. Ohio's a weird state. And that's what my vendetta is. But I'm sorry, Ed. Cincinnati sounds like it has a great bar scene. I check it out as long as I avoid all the stadiums and such.
Yeah. I mean, that's advisable. But then Seamus showed up at that bar that he told me about. And we went to this other place. He's like, this place called Arcade Legacy has it. And Adam, I don't know how to describe this bar to you. But imagine if somebody transported an arcade from 1992 with games going all the way back to like 1980.
Mm.
A bunch of pinball.
Mm.
A bunch of punk rock types dressed up for their Halloween karaoke. It was just a singularly beautiful karaoke night. And I was so happy that they embraced the lame middle-aged business guy who came in after work and his friend Seamus, because like everyone was absolutely cool. I met a guy named Jack who runs a really great podcast, and we were just bonding over karaoke and his costume from The Evil Dead. But he is one of the hosts of the Delightfully Macabre podcast, which is a spooky type podcast. It was a lot of fun talking to him. Helped me on the long drive back from Cincinnati. But the vibe there, I mean, I actually took a bathroom selfie like the kids do, just because I didn't need a picture of me. I just needed a picture of me in this bathroom, and I'll make sure that I put it in one of the blog posts on the website.
Oh yeah, this sounds like great blog material, Ed. And I keep forgetting we have a blog. Like this is what I'm selling to Courtney. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, you know, babe, I love you, but I need to go to more karaoke now so I can, I have a blog. I have a responsibility to people to publish in a blog. And this sounds like great blog content. First off, like you sent me some karaoke videos that night too of people singing. And I don't know if I properly communicated what my type of spot is, like the type of place where I like doing karaoke, where I just enjoy getting a beer in general. I don't like higher, like places that feel upscale or modern or trendy. Like for some reason, it's very, to a certain extent, it's unsettling to me unless it's in the right atmosphere and the right people are hosting it, because there's something to be said about a good upscale karaoke place. And we're going to talk about that shortly. This is a little bit of a lead in, Ed, but the places where I like doing karaoke are the places where you don't expect. I love a good dive bar. I really do. I love karaoke at dive bars. And the second place you're describing, the first place just looks like a trip. Okay. That Tokyo Kitty just looks like a trip and looked like someplace you just had to be. It looked like an experience, which I love. Love, love, love when you get that ambiance in a room. The second place looked like the best dive bar karaoke ever. I love that snap. Like, it made me want to visit Cincinnati. And you know how much that pains me to say right now that I want to visit Cincinnati at a karaoke at the spot.
Right. I mean, it was a unique experience with its own vibe. So my challenge for you that I mentioned earlier, I just want you to give me a place that just had a vibe that you feel like you have to talk about. You've done karaoke all over. I've done karaoke all over. What's a spot that just sticks out in your mind as, wow, this was a singular experience?
You want positive vibes or negative vibes?
Either way.
Okay, so my favorite positive vibe, well, I'll give you both, just briefly. We've talked about the Golden Pheasant a little bit. That was one of my favorite vibe spots to do karaoke. It's exactly the type of place I love. The bartender was friendly. The people were mostly friendly. The DJ was great. And it was just like, I feel like I have so many stories specifically from that one place, but whether it was you and I or me dragging Corey out to do something, it was just a tiny little place. It was cheap drinks. It was good fun. It was great karaoke. I set a carpet on fire at one point. It's a whole thing. It was beautiful. I love that spot. The second spot I'm talking about, which is a bad vibe spot. So when I travel too and I get to go out, I like to find karaoke too. It's one of the challenges I do when I get to a city. So my friend Ryan and I were in Cleveland, Ohio, doing a kind of sports weekend. We watched like the Indians play and we watched the Cavaliers play. So we got a hotel to stay for the night. And we're here for the night. Might as well find karaoke, right, Ryan? Let's go. So I found a scary spot. That's the only way I could describe it. Like, I like dive bars. I really do. But this place didn't have that intimacy of a dive bar. It felt like a big brick shell with like scary walls. And the DJ was bad and the sound was bad. And people were like weird. And it was just a singular experience. Like, I got that bad juju vibe, like the night in the castle pub where we left before somebody got stabbed.
Yeah.
Like, I had that bad juju vibe about this entire place. You know, I sang Johnny Cash. People were friendly enough, but it was just a bad juju vibe.
The tension that night at the castle pub was palpable. Like, you could smell the fight in the air. I don't know how else to describe it.
People know, like, you always know when something, like, you get those, everybody gets those vibes when something's about to go wrong. Like, they really do. You can feel it. I don't know what it is. It's like a weird human thing that happens, I think. Ed, I'm going to throw this back at you since there's 0 points. So give me some vibe spots. Tell me about particular spaces.
So I will say that in all of my travels, there are very few karaoke spots that I would put up against Backstreet's Sports Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. They have karaoke 7 nights a week on their patio.
Yes.
Once a month, they have live band karaoke inside on the main stage. It's like if a dive bar and a party bar had a baby. And the thing that I love about doing karaoke in Florida in general is because of the touristy travel nature of the state, the singers are always different. I mean, you know how it got at places that we went to for years on end. You knew everybody by the, like, everybody that was there. You knew them at some point.
Yeah. The only thing that would change at the places we went is that new college kids would come in that just turned of age, and those would rotate in and out that were out there for
a... Right. But imagine that rotation on a weekly basis.
That's how motherfuckers like you and I end up there.
Yeah. I ended up getting to be pretty friendly with a lot of the hosts there and some of the staff. But the thing I love about it, in terms of just like what I love about karaoke, is that's the one bar that I've always been surprised at. And when I say that, I mean, that's the bar where I saw a 70-year-old guy get up and do Poison by Bell Biv DeVoe with like a gaggle of backup dancers.
It's Poison.
It's where I met a guy who knew Johnny Cash.
Damn.
It's the only bar I've ever seen somebody do Born to Be Alive in, you know, classic disco staple that really you don't expect to hear at karaoke ever. It's not even a great karaoke song, but I still have it in my Snapchat memories of this dude just singing and dancing to the song. And I'm like, man, this bar is just my ideal place. And a friend of mine visited me while I was there, and I got to be very generous and pick up the tab because on Tuesday nights, they have 2-for-1. I ordered her cranberry and vodka.
Those are delicious, by the way. Like, I know, like, there's no hate on cranberry and vodka. I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood Ed's tone right there, because he kind of like had his very...
It was me trying to think, it came off a little judgy. The sound of me trying to think what she ordered.
Okay.
I mean, I know what I ordered because it's my standard karaoke drink: bourbon on the rocks and a beer. The bartender comes back with 2 bottles of beer in a bucket, 2 glasses filled with bourbon and ice, and 2 glasses filled with vodka cranberry. And I handed them, I think, a 20, and I got change back, with which I tipped with. At the time, my friend was living in DC. So she had this look. She's like, did you just hand them a $20 bill? And did you get change back? I'm like, yes.
Those places are special.
Someday I'm going to reach out to the owner of that bar, because I mean, something about having karaoke 7 nights a week, there has to be some love there. But the other thing I love about that place, talking about the vibe, is they have a limo service. Like, if you get too drunk to drive, you can take a limo back to your place. In terms of just like a interesting, unique spot, like that one is very much up there for me. I won't name the other place that had like a bad vibe.
Why won't you name the other place?
Mainly because I'm old and I forgot what it was called.
Where was it at?
It was in Florida. I don't think it's there anymore. All they served was wine and beer.
Oh, no, no, no. Red alert. Ding, 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 ding.
I am not a tall man. I'm 5'11 on a good day. I'm probably 5'10 now because you shrink as you get older. But my head was nearly grazing the ceiling. Now you can imagine what it sounded like in there.
Oh, it couldn't have sounded great. Like, the ceiling was, that can't be. The ceiling couldn't have been 5'10, Ed. You're like some driver. Are you saying I'm 6'5 and wouldn't fit in there?
I'm saying you might have actually grazed this. It was 8 feet high at best.
Oh, don't
with
like
drop
it.
Ceiling.
Nope. Don't like it. Still. No, thank you. I like my karaoke places to have some space. I like them to have character. I like to have good people around. I appreciate like good sounds, good selection, good drinks, if they can mix them up right. I like a good drink too. If they have a curtain entrance, Ed, it's a plus for me. You know what I'm saying? Because it adds a little character with a curtain entrance. Do you know any places like that?
Adam, I think I do. And I think you're talking about a very new spot that just opened up a month or so ago in Nyack, New York. Am I right? Have I predicted that?
I think you may have predicted that, actually. I've heard about this spot. And I'm going to absolutely insist that we talk to the owners. Ed, you're the man who books things. Make it happen. Can you book the owners of this place?
I am fairly convinced I can book the owners of this place.
Yeah, because places like theirs just don't come around very often. Ed, have you ever done what you would consider like really high class karaoke, or been to a spot where you're like, ooh, man, I love this spot. It's fancy. They got like delicious drinks. It has a really good vibe in here. Have you ever had that experience? Do you think it's like a gap in like the karaoke environment that needs to be filled?
It's definitely a gap that needs to be filled. I mean, I've been to places that had great drinks. I've been to places that have great design. I've been to places with great sound and great singers. Finding all of them together, I mean, that's kind of the dream, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, and like, it's just not something you stumble across. And I swear we're not specifically talking about the place we're going to be talking, the owners are talking about later, the place. Like, just in general, I think this is a hole and something that's being missed, is that, like, do you think it creates barriers for karaoke to a certain extent? Like, do you think it affects, like, the art form at all, as far as the perception of the art form, that most of the time we are associating a karaoke place in an environment, you're talking about, you know, dive bars, like I said, I like, or places like you've described. Like, do you think there's a stigmatism associated with it because of that?
A stigma?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean,
you have to see the karaoke spot too, Ed, so it could have a stigmatism.
Absolutely. Karaoke is very much looked on as kind of a trashy endeavor in most cases. I mean, if you think about everything you've seen about it in movies, in film, it's always something that someone's doing as a lark. It's never good. It's never presented as a normal thing that people would do for fun. And part of that could be very much the dive bar, sports bar, and private room thing that is kind of what is always associated with karaoke in the United States. An upscale place, that I've never actually been to a place that I would call upscale that had karaoke. I can't think of one. I've been to plenty of upscale places. But I mean, karaoke is considered a little déclassé, so karaoke and upscale don't always go together. And I think that's a shame, because I love thinking of the idea of like a lounge night at a nice place at karaoke where people are getting up and singing like Frank Sinatra and Julie London and Eartha Kitt.
And Megan Thee Stallion, you know, places like that. Like, you need to throw in some Megan Thee Stallion too. Why not? Damn, Ed, why you got to be so uptight about your upscale karaoke? Let people get freaky on the dance floor.
I'm just an uptight individual, Adam. I am tightly wound, which means someday I'll explode.
And that just means that because the two of us need to be opposites in order to have this great charisma that we have, that I'm the freaky person, everybody. Yeah, that's right. I'm the freaky one of the two.
And I'm the super conservative and restrained one.
The guy with the tattoo of Godzilla can't sing in karaoke is the uptight and restrained one, everybody. You heard it here first. No, yeah, you're right. You know, it's these places. And I wish that the stigma, words are important, wasn't attached with this, because I think it becomes a barrier to a extent that this has been created. And there's going to be more, like, I wish more places existed like black parakeets. I really do. Tip, black parakeets is the business we're talking about later. Like, by later, I mean probably within the next like minute or two. Would be, is that right, Ed? In the next minute or two,
whenever the segment is over. That's
because from the moment that I said, which is probably about 3 minutes back, 4 minutes back now, where I said, Ed, can you book them for us, please? You immediately started typing, and they were on board. And guess what? We're going to do that interview in the next minute or two. Do you have any final thoughts on this? Is there anything you want to add or contribute, or you want people to remember?
Whether a spot that you've done karaoke at is the right spot for you is always up in the air. I know what I prefer. I have a pretty good idea of what Adam prefers. Those things kind of overlap, but there are times where they're different. There's probably a spot for you that we wouldn't like, and you would probably not like some spots that we love. Find your own way. Make your own way in this crazy thing of amateur singing in bars.
That's what it comes down to. And I think we've been preaching that for most of our very first episode, Ed. Now that we're on episode like
17.
Now that we're on episode 17 of this, I don't think the message has changed. More than anything with karaoke, when we're talking about karaoke, the biggest thing we can encourage anybody listening to this is just to get out and do it. Have fun with it. Embrace it. Be who you are. Do what makes you happy. And that's the only reason I've ever done this, is because karaoke makes me happy. Being with Ed and doing karaoke makes me happy. Being in these places makes me happy. So just get out there and do it.
I might have teared up a little bit there.
I meant to make you cry. It wouldn't be the first time. It won't be the last, guaranteed. Wink. So now I am officially going to sell and make a recommendation for you. If you happen to be in the Nyack, New York area, Black Parakeets, place you need to check out, Joe. Get that upscale karaoke on. Have a great drink. But Ed, I know I'm not an expert, but I bet we're talking some people who are, right?
We're going to be talking to the owners, Terry and Naomi Clark, who are about to tell us all about the Black Parakeets experience.
Then why don't you just cue the guitar riff already? the great things about karaoke is that there are a ton of different ways and places to do it. And it's exciting when a new place springs up. While a lot of the places with karaoke fall into the dive bar or sports bar category, it's nice to see some upscale, classy spots are making their mark. In addition to karaoke, Black Parakeets in Nyack, New York has paint and sip events, a full bar with upscale cocktails and food, and an elegant vibe. Today, we're lucky enough to talk to the owners, Terry and Naomi Clark. Terry and Naomi, welcome to the greatest song ever sung poorly.
Pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be here. My wife will be back shortly. As I indicated, she's just making a call, but she will be right back.
Excellent. Yeah, well, we're excited to have you here. We love origin stories here on the greatest song ever sung poorly. So obviously, you have a lot of love for karaoke before opening up Black Parakeets. Oh, what got you into karaoke? Tell us the origin story.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing about it is I've always, you know, been into music, art, dance, and drama. And when I met my wife, one of the things that we really, really, really connected on was just karaoke, being really silly about it. One of our first dates, we traveled overseas, and it was just a funny situation. It was all in Spanish, and we just started singing karaoke. And we've always done it independently. When we met each other, we just started doing it more and more and more, always open mic. Open mic karaoke, you always make that distinction because, you know, in the Eddie Murphy movie, you see the guy come in, he's just singing in front of a bar. You know, you got everybody in front of you. And then, of course, you have big box karaoke, which is, you know, Korea, Japan, more Asian oriented. And then in New York City, we have what is known as Koreatown. And you have the small boxes where people are in intimate surroundings and they don't have to worry about anyone laughing or looking at them, and they can be as crazy as they want to be. But my wife and I found a lot of joy in just doing karaoke. We found it extremely therapeutic. No matter what happens, we can always go to karaoke and meet on that level. So it's always been something that's been pleasurable, something that's satisfying. And like anything else, you can to hear your own voice. And who doesn't like that, right?
No, everybody does.
I know. I know I in particular love the sound of my own voice. So I'm right there with you, Terry.
What's the place like for those who haven't had a chance to come visit yet? Can you give us like an audio tour so people know what's in store for them at Black Parakeets?
This is by far, and I know it's my place, right? So I put a lot of energy, my background is technology and anesthesia, but I love, so I mean, this is as so different. This place is actually a combination of a paint and sip lounge where you come in, you sit down, you get a high-end, classically trained painting instructor. You pick what you want to paint. They paint you. You work with a group of folks. You drink, you paint, you drink, you laugh. And then you go into the karaoke lounge. Our karaoke lounge holds up to about 30 people. It's beautifully laid out. I mean, the colors are beautiful. I'm sitting in it now. The energy here is sick. Why is it so sick? Number one, when you go to karaoke downtown, you're in a little box, which is nice because sometimes you want to do what I call a lovebird karaoke. And we intend to do that as we expand next door. But this large room, you know, we're replete with televisions, you know, 5 TVs in this joint. You activate your karaoke sessions on your phone. That's what's very distinctive. You can load up your music before you get here. See, one of the things I used to hate about going downtown is you go downtown, you thumb through these little dirty books. You can't find your song. And, you know, you're drinking a little bit. Here, you can load your songs in and the room is beautiful. Beautiful benches. And this particular place is strange because we actually have a underground. I don't know if you can see in back of me. We're in an underground skylight.
Ooh.
That's an oxymoron. We're the only underground skylit karaoke bar in America, I guarantee you, because it's just insane. So during the daytime, it has a certain feel. Then at nighttime, it has a very warm glow. We've got the, I don't know if you can see the crystal chandeliers up there. We've got the crystal chandeliers. We've got the leather seats. We've got the champagne tables. We've got special gold baskets for the microphone. So when you come here, you feel really, really good. And then I'll do a cabaret song. I'll come out and I'll sing a little Nat King Cole, little Frankie. And I sing it in a lounge style. So, you know, I can hit the high notes like the Stylistics. I can do some of the pop Michael Jackson stuff, some Drake stuff. But I go for the Nat King Cole and the Johnny Mathis stuff, that smooth, loungy appeal. And even the young folks are like, I like this because I'm in my 60s. But the youngsters come, they go, this is great. Why does this sound so good? It reminds me of my grandfather's smoking room. We've got the velour curtains. We've got everything is, like I said, done, to perfection the way I would like to be somewhere. Nice mirrors. You just feel good in the place. The lights, the accents, and the sound is really nice. We built everything in here from the ground up. This used to be a carpet store with one toilet. We built out the bathrooms. We built out the bar. We built out the, we had the a giant pergola area, right? So instead of having you paint in a room, you know, like you're back in school somewhere, I got two full pergolas, not the weak pergolas that you might see in some restaurant trying. We went all out. It's like you're in a playground out here. We've got it decorated with lights. We've got the disco balls in there. We got the music piping in over there. Everything that we did, we put 100% style into it. Even the bar built from the ground up, every piece, three different guys. I mean, we had slabs of rock that the guy got from, you know, when, remember when all those, when we had a supply shortage, this guy didn't have a supply shortage. We've got magma. We've got all beautiful. And it's all design. Our target market is females, 78% female. But we want date night. But we want a place where women can come and not have to worry about a guy wondering how much pizza she ate, right? How much she drank. We had a bunch of women come over the weekend. They did whatever they want. Girl ordered like five pizzas. No judgment. I don't give a right. There's no guy leaning over you. You're not struggling. Oh, you know, you bring your man out and he's watching the Jets game. No, they're 100% into each other. They can eat what they want. They can drink what they want. Everything is designed in a soft and smooth and sexy and chic and swanky. I don't know, you guys look too young to know swanky, but it has a swanky appeal. So when you come in, and you know, once you come in the door, I've got these curtains. They're purple velour curtains. When you close them and open them, I always told my wife, I want to hear that sound. Shh, shh, shh. So it almost has a speakeasy feel. You come in, you come through the door. The first thing everyone goes is like, wow, you guys, this is you? At the end of the day, we want you to walk away feeling good. I mean, I've got a lamp out there. It's got all ostrich feathers.
Wow.
When I say beautiful, you just want to take a picture near everywhere. Everything's delicately laid out. Even in the bathroom, in the men's bathroom, I had an artist write, this is a man's world. This is a man's world, but it would be nothing without a woman or a girl by James Brown. But we give him the credit. And we use the actual notes and the measures and the bars. It's all authentic. My painting instructors, they're so authentic. In the karaoke room, Nay and I will join folks and we get the party started. We turn this into an experience. So it's not like you come to karaoke room, here's your microphones, here's the room, here's the books. You want to drink in an old cup? No, everything is 100% class and the glasses are 100% glass. So when you come in, we offer the best martinis, Manhattans and old fashions outside of Manhattan. And we're making drinks. And I don't have a bartender. I have a bar chef. I say to myself, what's the season? What's the feel? What do we want to try to create? What do we want people to feel when they leave? I want people to feel like they've had an experience. So we come out, we start it out. I'll usually sing something that's really smooth, get you in the mood, get you a couple of drinks in your hand. We'll lower down the lights and we'll take it to another level. So what prompted us, as you asked, it's our love and appreciation for, number one, art. Art is what brings people together. Mm-hmm. Folks say music, but it's just not music. It's music, art, dance, and a lot of drama. And that's what we bring. We bring the drama part. But we try to bring a art experience. We try to make our folks feel that there's nothing like this. And there is nothing like this. There's no way. You can go to paint and sip, boring. You could do karaoke, boring. You could go to a bar and throw axes. Yeah. They got a bar where you can throw axes. That's responsible. But no, what we do here is we bring them all together and we have an obsession with the customer experience. That is what my wife, she's the chief people officer. I'm the chief growth officer. Our job is to make you feel like you, and we ran into a couple of folks in the street. And the folks that we bring on, they generate the same kind of energy. They are the same way. Once again, the goal is authenticity from the ground up, a whole different experience.
You've also become one of my favorite guests just by calling Adam and I young, which really just boosted our our egos. You guys, a little bit. So we appreciate that. So Naomi, welcome. Now that you're free from handling, you know, your business. Terry was just telling us about how everything got started. What's your view? What do you want to see out of Black Parakeets, you know, in the next months or years?
Well, definitely in the next months, I want to see people talking about it all over social media and definitely in the local cafes and restaurants when they eat. But for the future, we definitely want to have more Black Parakeets throughout the local neighborhood. So we're definitely
Black Parakeets.
We're definitely looking to branch out, you know, and put this great little idea that we put together, this fun, in other neighborhoods, because a lot of people are missing it. It's a two for one. It's a great two for one. And it's enough to let people just relax and relate. And
addictive. A little addictive.
Oh, yeah.
Karaoke. I don't know if you guys are big karaoke guys. Me and my wife, we're terrible. We'll have to admit. I'm just going to tell you. I left out one very important piece. Nay worked in merchandising for a long time. And I've always been in sales. So we have an extremely tough schedule. Right? No children, just two dogs. We would come home. She'd have to take a nap from working. She'd get home at 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. I'd get home, let's say 6, 7. I'm waiting for her. Midnight, I wake her up. Go down to Koreatown, get some of the Korean barbecue, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. We'll get into the joint. We go into the karaoke joint after that. We have little drinks there because the worst thing to do is get fired up before you get to karaoke. That's not fun. Get fired up while you're karaoke, right? Because you want to die. You want to
dial it up.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't understand people. We had a few people come that were already drinking. Yeah. Come pre-drink or have one drink. We'd have this one drink, get into karaoke. What time will we start?
About 1:30, 2 o'clock.
What time do we get out of there? What? How many times do we get?
After 5 in the morning.
4.
Yeah.
Which is like at first, especially if I'm in a bad mood, right? Well, she's in a bad mood. I'm not singing today. By 2 o'clock, we're going insane.
Yeah.
They got to throw us out the joint. That's why I tell folks here, please come early and tell your family because you're not leaving.
Yeah.
You guys know how it is. You always say, oh, Benny and the Jets. I don't know that. I don't sing, right? Isn't that what they were? They don't sing. I don't know nothing about singing. They got to rip the freaking mic from their hands. It's the same thing. But karaoke is so therapeutic. It's so...
Yeah. It's such a great outlet to allow people to express themselves without judgment, you know?
Right.
So we love that part of it, especially being in a lounge area where you can meet new friends or just be amongst your own friends and be able to express yourself on different levels, you know? Some people like rock and only sing that in their house, or country music and only sing it in the house, but we have it here. So you can feel free to sing it here. Another thing is great is that we have the paint studio, which is also therapeutic. It allows people to relax and to release endorphins that you normally don't get when you're dealing with children or dealing with stress. Mm-hmm. To have these two combinations and then to give that little treat of sugary, you know, that little sugar treat of a drink, a great martini or old fashioned, you know, it still has a nostalgic feel to it. Yeah. But at the same time, you're in modern times because it's something you've never really done.
And we like together. It. And we like it too, which is, I'll tell anybody, if anyone says I've had a few businesses, this is the best business because I had a client in earlier today. I'm singing songs. I'm still singing. I know she's like, okay, you had me at the authentic pizza.
He's a salesman at heart, guys. Okay. He goes too far too soon sometimes. Okay. I got to snatch him back.
But it's fun. You guys know karaoke is fun. I don't care what anyone says. I think if people had more karaoke in their lives, I think we have a sign outside that says karaoke is love. Brings folks together, helps create energy, helps spread energy. And again, I had a bunch of, I mean, hardcore, because Nyack is a very, very liberal town. So I had all these girls in and I was just testing some music and I just threw on any song and, you know, high tech, I'm a high tech redneck came on, right? And they're singing that song. And they're like, we're liberals, but we'll sing the redneck song, Terry, we have no problem. So my point is it brings people from all different parts of the diaspora and the spectrum together. Doesn't matter what your proclivities are. Doesn't matter what your concerns, your thoughts, your feelings, your ideas. All of that stuff goes out the wayside.
As long as you're vaccinated. Hello.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because we are safe. And we always, you know, we're a safe operation in that we've got the, you know, I guess you can call them mic condoms, if you will. And I know that just thinking about this place, I have a number of places that I pay homage to. There's a place in Harlem called 67 Orange Street where this guy's room, I'm going to tell you that, I love that You could never find his place because he had the velvet curtains. But once you open the curtains, he had these exciting drinks that, I mean, I was not an old fashioned drinker.
Mm-hmm. Until, Saturday, yeah.
Right? You know,
until
I was
we leave. Came across
right.
him.
So, that's and true. Then there's another joint in the city called the Art Bar. The Art Bar is so nice. And if you ever get a chance, these places that I'm mentioning right now, iconic. The Art Bar,
yeah.
67 Orange Street. These places have a je ne sais quoi. They have something to them. They have a little, they have something special that I think is in this place. Whether it's the bar, whether it's the entrance, whether it's the sound of the with the curtains, whether it's the pergolas. It's something that I believe that when you bring all of that stuff together, you create something really, really special. And I think the Nyack town, which is, you know, presumably a artsy town, they have a lot of artists, but they're not galvanized and they don't connect. And we hope we are able to bridge those gaps.
It sounds like you guys are well on your way. Like I love just about everything you've said, from the inspiration and like being the playground and the feel. And it sounds like it was meticulously put together with love and care and based on history and everything you said about karaoke. Like I love everything. I love this just in general. So my question is, my follow-up question to all this is, how did this idea come together? Like who thought of this? How did you guys decide that, like, from staying out till 5 a.m. at karaoke to opening this very unique type of business that was cultivated with love and care and attention and detail? How did that come together? Like, just tell me a little bit about who cooked up the idea. How did you guys develop it? And what led you to say, yeah, let's actually do this?
Well, certainly the inspiration was our love for karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always been an art person all my life. My wife's a very creative person. And the second part of it is that in today's world, you know, you don't want to monetize everything, but you do believe that a business is something that, you know, you want to have some control over your life. You want to be able to do something meaningful. You want to be able to have your own direction. And one of the things that we had thought about was, you know, what kind of business can we do? And we said, what's simple?
We definitely knew that my husband and I, we are age difference, as you can see. I'm totally like 22. And, you know, I worked in retail and I did a lot of late night working and, you know, working on the holidays. And my husband has always been in sales, like he said, but we needed to find something where we can bridge together and be able, as he get older and I get older, I can still have control of what we're doing and still make money and have something that we enjoy doing. I wanted to initially start out with just a karaoke studio. And that studio, after Hubby Lish did the numbers, we realized that that was something that was going to be extremely costly. But at the same time, we were noticing that we were also engaging in this paint and sip concept that was coming about. One day he said, you know, babe, maybe we should do a paint and sip and karaoke studio. That's how it kind of, it was just an idea. It was just over something, over pillow talk. And he started gyrating the numbers and looking at things, and we're going back 2018 that this idea kind of started to formulate. We let it develop in its own nature.
But at the same time, gotta work.
At the same time, always checking each and every aspect of it. So we continue to go to karaoke studios and seeing the equipment they use and the music they had and how long the lines were and how often they were booked. And the same thing with the paint and sips. What seasons were great for them? What items did they paint? How many students did they have in there? I mean, those things, how was the bar? So we took all that we saw, all that we experienced, and we put it together and we said, okay.
We don't want to do any of that.
Recipe.
We said, when we saw that, I said, we're not doing any of that because it's nonsense. And is woefully underserving the art community. And, you know, to be quite frank, you know, we wanted to do something that we could do together, something that was artsy and something that was simple enough. And, you know,
we
looked at a couple of places around here. We were going to just do a paint and sip and then look at karaoke. We're going to integrate karaoke because that's our love. But paint and sip seemed like something simple enough to do in a town, and we thought we could get it done. And when we started peeling back the layers, the more we peel back the layers, the more we discovered there were more layers and there's more things involved. And, you know, our very first shot at this was, like I said, a building down the street. Then we had a giant, like 6,000 square place. And, you know, it's just trial and error, but never stopping, going and testing and going and testing. And for anyone who's thinking about starting a business, number one, you got to be capitalized. Number two, you got to be very, very, very disciplined and never lose any, like I never stopped one time to doubt or to question whether or not it could be done. And as Naomi pointed out, we hope in the next, well, not hope, we intend or expect in the next 48 months to have certainly another one, and certainly within the next 7 years, maybe three, and look to franchise. So we do have great ideas. We do recognize that this is an early foray. It's a test. It's really an experiment, because typically my ideal place would be more Lovebird suites, where you got folks that are not, you know, three and four people at a time, eight people at a time. And I'd like to have paint and sip, painting areas that are more expanded, larger, you know.
Yeah, canvases.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Bars, you know, two people bars. We have a very cute, sexy bar.
Yeah, we have a very boutique bar with very mixologist style drinks.
Very eclectic.
So it's very eclectic.
Yes, I want to ask you specifically about those drinks, just because I saw when they were listed on the website. What's a lavender paintbrush? What's a Pama Old Fashioned?
You know how a paintbrush just covers everything? Well, that drink just about covers everything, right? Mm-hmm. But it's one of those drinks that's designed to be pleasing to the eye, pleasing to the palate, a bitch to put together. So it makes it hard for anybody else, for anyone else to duplicate it.
Right?
One of the questions we struggled with is, you know, signature cocktails. Should they be a jaw dropper? Should we give a person a drink that just goes, bah?
Then
we said, no, maybe not. Maybe it's not a good idea to Long Island tea them. Because if you Long Island tea them, then we lost them for the rest of the night, right?
The idea is to gradually feed them a little bit and a little bit at a time, and to get their taste buds and their palates woke to something that they are familiar with, but it's something else. And they just need one more drink to taste what that is. And every time they get another one, it's something else. It's like, but it's something else I taste now.
I told them we were just featuring these new drinks.
The caramel, salty caramel. Oh, so delicious.
Keep your trade secrets. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
They want our target market, we expect to be a little curious.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And be willing to try some new things. So,
yeah. And our demographic is the type of woman who is definitely, she's sure of herself and she knows what she likes. So for us to have the simple Pinot Grigio wine, she can identify with that. It doesn't matter the brand. But when I introduce her to a Habanero whiskey with a splash of et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, she's going to say, oh my God, I'm a whiskey drinker. Let me try that. And now when she tastes it, she's going to say, I only got that from Black Parakeets. I have to go back to Black Parakeets.
That's the idea.
Is that I don't want to have a bar full of everything. I want to have those certain special je ne sais quoi's of drinks that when you come here, you can only get from here. And you can always guess what it is. You'll know the foundation, but all of the top elements, you won't know what it is.
Yes, you're just speaking my language right now. You really are. Like,
yeah.
Listen, I just want to come up there and get a lavender paintbrush and get some karaoke. And that's all I want in my life right now.
You got to get an orange parakeet. Oh, the best drink, my best drink is, it's a little boozy, is the Vucaré.
I'm a boozy guy, so we're good there.
Okay, so it's just cognac and rye whiskey, sweet vermouth, right?
And Benedictine.
Benedictine and brandy. And it's all fire with a spicy, with a little orange peel and a spicy cherry.
Yeah.
So that drink right there will get you. It's going to get you like Bugs Bunny used to say, right here.
That's where I love those drinks that get you right there. You guys have been open for about a month now. I think it's, you said it was a day from your grand anniversary.
Oh my God. Today came 1 month.
Yeah, totally.
Congratulations.
They made 1 month, babe.
I know.
Oh my good. Still I feel like, oh, this is so exciting that you're talking to us for the month. I feel like
working with your wife.
Oh my God.
Gotta be this is one of the unique things as well. Working with your wife every day.
Yeah.
Because guess what? They come home with you. Wives don't stay at the job.
No.
As most people would think. They come with
100%. The question I have for you, though, is, so it's been a month. What's the biggest surprise so far that you've kind of experienced from having this business open for a month? Anything that you weren't expecting that's happened? Anything that you were expecting to happen that hasn't? Just tell us a little bit about the surprises in the first month.
The one thing that I do see, I when we go into town, we're out into Nye all the time. We go have lunch and, you know, we have cocktails at other restaurants or establishments. And the surprise is that everyone in the town is familiar with Black Parakeets. They know where we're located, but surprisingly, they don't really know what we do in here. And even though the name Paint, Swig, and Sing is there, it still holds this kind of curiosity. And that is the surprise overall, is that, wow, people don't read. Don't read is no, a that's major it. Surprise that's a that I would expect, you know?
But I guess so.
That has been one of the main surprises. Another surprise that I got, that we hired a couple of local artists, and one of the young girls that we hired loves art and is self-taught. She's actually in school now doing art classes, and she's an amazing artist. Like, some of the artwork that she's done has blown her our mind, and she's just like, oh, I didn't know. Like, she's not even aware. And I love the fact that we are hiring these young girls, young people in their 20s who are finding themselves, who are exploring their personalities
and work hard.
You know, and they're able to come in and make a decent dollar, because, you know, we're not paying our people pennies. No. We want them to feel like they're a part of a team in their home. So if McDonald's can pay you 15, we can pay you 18. And that's our kind of motto. You know, we don't want to cheap labor anybody at this time, because quality is hard to get, and building a family after the pandemic is even harder. Our employees are to be treated as such. We're a family in development, and we want them to explore who they are as a person, their work ethic, to a point where responsibility is always on the table. Yep. So it's really good to be an influencer on young people in a creative setting as well.
Yeah, that is, I well said. These young folks, I mean, when you hear young people don't want to work, you have no work ethic, that's not true.
It's not true.
I mean, we've got 21-year-old.
Yeah, our youngest employee is 21.
23
and 26.
And they are on time. And they are enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. And we met one potential bartender. She's amazing in that she's been working for
Dave and Buster's since she was 16 years old.
And she's like 21. And she's 21.
So if she can be that dedicated to something like that, put her in an environment where she's having fun, hanging out at the same time, and still earning some money, why not?
I mean, that's exciting. And like, I'm excited to make the trip to come out there, because that's absolutely now on my list of things that I will do. I might pick Adam up. I might not. You know.
How dare you? First off, you need to pick me up. Please, Ed, pick me up. I really want to go.
Yes, I know. I know you don't have, I know you don't drive out there. So yeah, I guess you can hop in my Prius and we can go. But the other thing I'm excited for is, you guys have been so great. Like, this has been so much fun for us. Hopefully it's been fun for you. But now we're going to amp up the fun a little bit, and we're going to play our quick fire game. Hit me with your best shot.
Okay.
So we're going to ask you 5 karaoke related questions. Give us your best answers. And then from there, we'll let you ask us one about karaoke. We'll see how things go. And that's our fire away segment. Are you guys ready to play our game?
Yes. Yeah.
You guys actually might get a 6 question game, because I do have one question that I do want to put you on the spot on. And I'm going to start with that one. Terry and Naomi, who's the better singer?
Naomi, me. I have more octave range. That's why.
That's fair. That was great. That was about the.
But we can belt out a few. The proof is always in the pudding. But I'm a classically trained singer.
In the shower.
I had to start with that one. Whenever we have 2 guests on at the same time, it just seems like that's a good one. But we'll go into our actual game now. So Adam, you want to lead us off?
Yeah, sure. What's the best thing you've ever seen at karaoke?
Any karaoke environment?
Any. Your entire karaoke history.
Oh, man. The best thing I've ever seen in karaoke was being somewhere where no one spoke. We spoke a different language. And everybody was singing all these American songs, and we were singing songs in Spanish. I thought that was one of the most memorable. And to be quite honest, that was one of the things that kind of was a major impetus. And that's a long time ago. Right? Yeah, it was a long time
ago. Yeah, we were in Mexico, but, and everyone was singing all these American, like Spanish people who speak Spanish, were singing all these Spanish songs.
And don't speak any English.
Here these 2 African Americans get up and do karaoke in Spanish. And they were just like,
"We died the right." Yeah. It was a good night. That was one of the best karaoke. And it lets you know, that's the first time that I really got clear in my head that this is a very beautiful.
Right?
Yeah. And then we started doing it.
Conversely, what's the worst thing you've ever seen in karaoke?
Jamaica.
Jamaica was horrible.
The Jamaica karaoke was awful.
What made it awful?
What was awful about it is that everybody really thought they were like on Star Search. Like, no one.
It was a big stage.
It was a huge stage. No one was fun. No one was like laughing. No one was like dancing. No one's feeling the music. It was like, literally everybody thought they were going to win something at the end of it.
It was too pretentious.
It was very pretentious. It was very stiff.
It was like British karaoke, man. It's like they had a no drinks. It was just outdoor seating and a stage, like, so
beautiful,
you know,
beautiful weather,
but it's not right. There's no intimacy. It's like you're on stage and they sang okay, but it's just one of the
next question is everybody has one of these. What's the one song you would love to sing at karaoke, but you've never been able to find a good version of, like as far as the instrumental existing period?
Superwoman by Karen White. I'm not your superwoman. So I found it, but the speed of it was too fast. So that was terrible. But you normally can't find Superwoman a lot of times in the original Karen White's recording.
Yeah, it depends. I guess, you know, it depends on who you're doing business with, right?
Ooh, and Vesta.
And I'm telling you?
I'm not telling you. Everybody knows Vesta. I'm not telling you.
I always find that there's a bunch of songs, especially older songs, I hate in the version of. You know, when you go to karaoke and it goes, you know, this is Johnny Mathis. Yeah, this is a song in the version of Johnny Mathis.
So let's say you're traveling. So obviously you're not at Black Parakeets. You're in a new place and you only have one chance to sing a song to make your mark. What's your go-to song?
Well, we probably do a duet and we probably do The Closer I Get to You by Donny Hathaway and Roberta Flack. Mm-hmm. And we've been in those situations where we've got it down. You know, if we got the time for both of us to sing, I'll probably sing Lou Rawls, You'll Never Find. She'll probably sing maybe Silly of Me.
Silly. Yeah. I'm going down.
Man, that's. If you could magically strike one song from every karaoke playlist forever.
Ricky Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Ricky Martin, La Vida Loca.
I think they get rid of La Vida Loca and what's the Macarena?
And the Macarena.
I would be one happy individual. But then Naomi says, wait a minute, T, those are two Hispanic
Latino
songs. You can't say that. I said, okay, I'll throw in another one. If I never heard, what's the other one? The Sweet Caroline again. Yeah. It'd be okay with me. It'd be okay. And I love Sweet Caroline because it brings people together. But yeah. I'd rather hear more Isaac Hayes.
Frank Sinatra.
One of the things me and my wife, we're different in karaoke is I like songs that give you an opportunity to change your voice and be fun. You know, there's two types of folks that karaoke. You got the people who karaoke who try to sound exactly like the artist, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's fair because you really can't hit those notes. Why not sing a song in a lower octave where you can hit the notes and then you could kind of add your own spin to it. That's all I'm saying. I think you can add your spin. When you try to sing a song to the letter, you know.
Well, when I was in school and I took music, my music teacher encouraged me to pick a song that I like and to always try to mimic that artist's voice as high as you can and then change it and sing it in your natural voice. But you only know your natural voice once you try other songs. So for me, I like to do both. I like to really test myself on trying to hit those octaves or those ranges.
I like to play with the song. I like listening to What a Wonderful World and sounding and acting just like Louis Armstrong. So, you know, that makes it, because it's got to be fun. It's either performance art or it's fun.
It's art.
100%.
Right.
It's definitely art. And I feel you. And I think Ed feels you. We both like having just a good time playing around with our voices. And like we find songs that are fun, like nicely in our natural ranges and stuff like that. But I've been known to try out some Louis Armstrong every now and then and like doing that growl with the voice, you know?
I think every guy has What a Wonderful World in his back pocket somewhere or has at least tried to do it.
Oh, yeah. You know that because it's very easy. But you know what song this guy did for me one time? This is right about the time we had met. And even when you first met me, I took you to a karaoke thing. You remember that? And it was a Red Robin.
I don't remember.
You don't remember? With me, my
daughter. No, I remember.
What was funny about it was this guy, he was from New Hampshire, blonde-haired kid. And at that time, I think maybe the song, how long ago, Tyrone?
Erykah Badu? That was like late 90s.
Yeah.
Been a minute.
He came on and like you hear this and he goes, I'm getting tired of your, and he's singing this girl song. I think that's one of the funniest things in the world to have a guy who looks square Joe come out and sing a real hip song. But even more, it was a lady song and he killed it.
But songs, when you reverse the gender and sing the song, it's and you got a great voice, it's always fun. I love it.
Listen, one of my favorite karaoke experiences, and I started playing around a little bit with that too, because I learned if you play with the key a little bit, there's a lot of like songs you can get into. At one of the karaoke nights I went to before everybody got there, because I was testing it out, and you know, you sing in the shower, but you're like, I'm going to test it with some microphone, because it always, like, you hear yourself differently. I sang, you were talking about it a little bit earlier, I sang Jennifer Holliday's version of And I'm Telling You I'm Not Going. You can turn it into a real, like, deep, soulful thing. Oh, yeah. Like, you play with that key, you can, like, get that into that growl a little bit, and, like, yeah. You drop it and just growl. Like, give it a little, like, of a bluesy swing, you know? Like, just feel it. Like, just, like,
I'm always
that is so dope. Yeah. I love that
Nobody
idea.
Nobody can sing like Jennifer Holliday. Let's get that. That's crystal true. Clear right now. So I wasn't worried about hitting those notes. I was just out there to have a good time.
But they had a good time.
That's all that matters. That's a beautiful thing about karaoke. We're just all here to have a good time. And that was wonderful. You guys gave like great answers, and you were like right on top of it. And it's so wonderful hearing your entire karaoke story. And it's only fair now that you get to ask us a question. So if you have a good question that you'd like.
I do want to ask some questions, you know, because
I knew Terry would have some.
But no, the questions that
I knew.
The questions I'm asking is really the most simple ones, because I am always looking for how to improve what we offer. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of recon to try to find out, and you guys are karaoke aficionados. So what do you guys look for? What's the first thing you look for when you come into karaoke?
The first thing I'm looking for in any place I go is just a vibe. Like I've been involved in karaoke for, I don't know, over 15 years now, maybe. And I've been involved with some karaoke forums where like hosts and stuff will discuss stuff. And one of the things they're always like, is like, no, it's most important that you have like the best legal sound book or the best sound or the best, like, no, I want to know, like, is this a cool crowd?
Mm. Right.
Am I going to have a good time? I could care less if I sound like crap, because let's face it, I sound like crap a lot.
Right.
You know, like, it has nothing to do with equipment and more to do with the fact that I'm like, I'm still figuring out how to sing 15 years into
You sound good sometimes now. Like, sometimes now you sound good. Yeah.
It took a while, but I got there.
It did.
Is this going to be a place where I'm going to have a good time? Like, if I go into like a very, very redneck bar, I'm probably not going to have a great time.
Yeah.
You know, if I go, you know, like,
I just want to distinguish between open mic karaoke.
That's a great question.
So have you guys done a lot of the private lounge karaoke? Small, you know, big box karaoke, as they call it.
Yeah, I've done both. Adam,
I've done both pretty extensively.
Our main thing is like a front facing crowd bar space. Okay. Like we've both done, you know.
I ended up doing a little bit more private room and different things just because I lived in Japan for 3 years and got to explore that entire thing. And then also like when I lived in Pittsburgh for a number of years. So I had some friends that weren't like willing to come out with me to the karaoke nights. But if I said, hey, let's go get a private room, and I knew a spot in like Koreatown in Pittsburgh, like we go over and we get the spot there. So I've done a little bit of both.
That's which
one do you find most fun? Like, is it just it happening at the moment, or
are you talking about which one do I find more fun, of like front facing or the private box, or like it just depends on the crowd. It depends on who you're going with, how you want to get them involved. Because like the nice part about like with private rooms that I found, and like the vibe I'm looking for with the private room, is like, I want to feel good when I'm in there. You know, if the place looks trashy or if it feels trashy, like then I'm going to like, it's a bad setup right away. Like just taking a look at your place, like that is exactly what I want in a private room. Exactly what you got going on. You got that beautiful view. You got that good vibe going on. You got the shh of the curtains when I'm coming in there, you know, I'm going to remember that too. But that's what I'm talking about. Like it's a nice vibe. And the nice part about private room karaoke that I've discovered is those people that won't join you at the bar or crowd facing karaoke. So you get people that will come and sing with you that will never, ever get up and sing on their own.
Absolutely.
I love that. I love being able to engage in them. And like my magic trick is with them is I'm like, hey, you should come to karaoke, hang out. We got like 10, 12 of us that are going out. We're going to be chilling. I'll sing a duet with you. What do you want me to sing with you? Oh, you love Disney? Let's sing some A Whole New World together. I'll sing you some Aladdin. Mm-hmm. You can be my Jasmine. I'll sing Jasmine. You know, you can be my Aladdin, whatever it may take, whatever they want to sing. But like, you know, that's the vibe I'm looking for. Now, if I'm walking into like more public facing, like front facing karaoke room, I'm an ambiance person. Top to bottom, I'm an energy and ambiance person. Yeah. There are some really, really nice places. Like New York City is like a trip to me, because like as I'm settling into it, like there's a lot of places that are really nice. You know, you can get some really good food, you can get some really nice drinks, but man, they feel like soulless. Like there's nothing here. Like it's like a box of like these really modern designs. Like put me in a smaller place that has pictures on the wall, that has pictures of art on the walls that like kind of like feels cluttered just a little bit, you know, but like it has a personality. Right. It has something that develops, you know. That's what I'm looking for. I want personality. I want a vibe. I want an energy. Yes. Like anytime I step into a room.
You gotta come here, baby. I'm telling you.
Yeah, we put it with a lot of personality.
All of that you said, I got it for you. We got it here.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna, I think it's gonna happen before New Year's, Adam. I don't know about you.
I think it will. Hey, listen, and like I live here. Like I live here, dude. You pick me up. I'm ready to go. But okay, in that case, hey, we're wrapping up, y'all. But I need you guys. This is your time. We're gonna hand you the floor. Tell us all the stuff you got going on. If people want to find out more about Black Parakeets, where can they go? How can they follow you on social media? Like, just give everybody that final pitch. Those final things you want the people to remember. Tell the people where.
All right, everyone. Black Parakeets paint, swig, and sing. You can find us on platforms, all platforms, Black Parakeets. Our website is www.blackparakeets.com. Right now we have Wine Down Wednesdays going down where you can a little bit of this and a little bit of that on the new wines, all the creative wines for the fall and the season. We also have Paint, Swig, and Sing on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, as well as a brunch Sundays. Please visit our website, www.blackparakeets.com. Our number is on there. You can contact us directly. Any questions you have, anything you're looking for, private parties, birthday parties, gender
hen parties,
whatever you want to do, we have the space to accommodate it. We also have a really great eclectic bar where you can get those really ones and twos kind of drinks that you've never even really tasted before, as well as some really tasty small bites in the back. We're a great spot for the growing
If you're looking for an authentic karaoke place with personality, art, drama, music, and a little dance sometimes. If you're looking to do something different, if you're tired of throwing darts and throwing hatchets, you know.
And rolling a ball that's going in no hole.
95-inch television sets with the Jets losing. You know, this is something, it's a full experience and we're committed to that experience. So if anyone wants to do something different, go online, you pick a session. You have to, you know, no walk-ins. Walk-ins are welcome on Wine Down Wednesdays, but during the rest of the week, what we attempt to do is fit you in for 2-hour duration, give you everything you need to do on the paint sip side. But in terms of karaoke, your book, we prefer you to have 8 to 12 people, but we accommodate others depending on what the circumstance is. And more importantly, as we enter into the holiday season, a lot of corporations, they love big space like this. Obviously, we love the big dollars that they have, but we're committed to the regular
community.
And
the residential community first.
Right.
We don't want to be one of those establishments that lock up their business on holidays to all corporations just because of the dollar.
And then when your local people
come with their family and want to celebrate, enjoy your space, they can't. So we recommend that those people out there who's interested in doing something like this with their family, book and start now, because we are getting, the corporations are coming after us right now, which is great. Hello.
But yeah, I mean, we're not turning down dollars. We're just not even turning down anything, not even our own college. But the reality is Westchester, Northern New Jersey, Connecticut, upstate New York, and of course, New York City proper. You know, all of this stuff is a hop skipping away right off the Tappan Zee Bridge. And it's the first exit, two rights, two lights, and you're right here.
Two rights, two lights.
Terry, I'm gonna add to this right now, okay? I'm just saying, like, you named all those states. I'm saying, like, California, Japan, Jamaica, if you want some good karaoke, you want to learn what that's about. Like, it's just a short flight to get up there. You fly in the JFK, hop your way up the NIAC, enjoy a night there. Anywhere that you may be, I was looking around while, like, all that was being read, like, what more could you need? Because seriously, what more could you need? So, like, everybody, just do it. Get up to NIAC, New York. Visit Black Parakeets. This has been just a delightful conversation. We've really enjoyed having you. Like, thank you so much. And, like, we hope to see you singing at a screen sometime soon.
Take care.
Be well and stay safe, guys. See you soon.
Being the great marketers that they are, Terry and Naomi just sent us a little taste, just a little clip of Terry doing When Sunny Gets Blue by Johnny Mathis. Perhaps to entice you to make the trip to NIAC, New York, and to sing with them at Black Parakeets.
Harry knew love, Harry dear, to kiss away each moment here.
That was amazing. And that was so amazing. You know what else is amazing, Ed?
No, what, Adam?
How much I love everybody who actually listens to this podcast and took the time to join us today. And you know what I love even more, Ed?
No, what, Adam?
If they went ahead and just followed us on all the social media, like Twitter at sungpoorly, or send an email to sungpoorly@gmail.com. And you know what my favorite new thing is, Ed?
What, Adam?
It's our webpage, which is sungpoorly.com, which we will be blogging about sometime soon. You can look for Ed's Cincinnati post and maybe some adventures from me in the future. Ed, tell us about something else.
Well, Adam, do you know what one of the things that I love is?
I want to know so badly.
It's Ben Dumb.
Oh, God, that man.
Our dear friend who gave us his song Gasoline to use for this podcast. Make sure you check out the Ben Dumb 3 or any of his other projects, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get music, you can find Ben Dumb, I promise you.
Tell them the other thing that I really love and you should tell them about. What's a great way to get the word out about the greatest song ever sung poorly?
It's by sharing it with a friend, Adam. Podcasts are meant to be shared with friends.
They are.
If you enjoyed this episode, if you enjoyed any of our previous episodes, share it with your karaoke people. Share it with your not karaoke people. Maybe we can turn them into karaoke people by proxy.
I think we could turn them into karaoke people, especially if they ever get a chance to do karaoke with us. I think it's one of the things we pride ourselves on.
I mean, really, all of our friends are people who, if we didn't know them before, we knew them from karaoke. So that makes sense.
100%. But now, let's get into what you can look forward to. So, make sure to tune in 2 weeks from now when we dive deep into one of the main reasons karaoke remains so popular. Getting y'all flirt on. That's it. That's all. There is no more. So, until next time, I'm Adam Wainwright.
I'm Ed Kennard.
And remember, the singing off key is still technically singing.
I am fairly convinced I can book the owners of this place. And I'm saying that with such a cheeky grin because by now everybody knows that we do the interview first and then we record this segment.
Ed, you don't tell them how the sauce is made.
Absolutely do.
You're ruining all the podcasting magic. Magic over. Thanks, Ed. Everybody just say it out loud wherever you are right now with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Thanks, Ed.